This week, we are going from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, to see how God uses the lamb animal. After all, the Bible says Jesus is the Lamb of God, so there must be a connection to be made between the lamb and Jesus. And indeed, there is. I really hope you listened to yesterday's broadcast, because we began in Genesis chapter 4 and I said a lot. It was one of those days when we handled a lot of content. Do yourself a favor and go back and listen for the first time, or listen again. You can get it as a podcast from the WEZE website for free. 590amtheword.com and click podcasts. What I'm doing is to follow theologian Arthur W. Pink's excellent work in his book, The Gospel of John. He just lays out for us very clearly the use of lamb across the Bible. He writes that in the Bible, lamb is typified, prophesied, applied, personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. And those are on Facebook and Twitter for you to see. God is W-E-Z-E. God is W-E-Z-E. Or you can email me and ask for them. Now, don't get lost in those words. I'm going to explain each one and show them in the Bible. We're walking along the landscape of the Old and New Testaments together. We won't lose one another. And we're safe walking in the provision of the land of the Bible with God as our guide. Yesterday, we saw how the lamb is typified. Today, I want to show you how the lamb is prophesied. Please turn with me in your Bible, if you have it handy, to Genesis chapter 22. As I say that, realize that we've just gone from Genesis chapter 4 yesterday all the way here to Genesis 22 today. So we're moving with some speed. And in this chapter, Abraham, an early man of God, because he exercised great faith in God, that is, even though he could not physically see God, still he believed in him, is taking his beloved son Isaac to be sacrificed at the command of God. The mere fact Abraham is willing to sacrifice Isaac shows you the depth of this man's faith. But again, our purpose is not to spend the day here. So if your question, entirely legitimate, is why would God command Abraham to kill Isaac? Then note it, because I'll touch on the answer soon. What I want you to notice is that the matter at hand is again sacrifice. Something has to be sacrificed to God. And what is that something? It is a lamb. And why does it need to be sacrificed? As I said yesterday, for sin. Keep this in mind as I read. I'm reading now in Genesis chapter 22 and verses 7 through 8. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Isaac, who is, by the way, a grown man himself by now, he is not a child or even a teenager here. In fact, he's likely 30 years of age here. He recognizes that a sacrifice will be made to God, and he knows that God requires an unblemished, perfect little lamb. But because they do not have the lamb, Isaac inquires of his dad. Note Abraham's faith. God will provide for himself the lamb. That is what A.W. Pink is calling prophecy. I agree. What Abraham does is give Isaac a here and now answer that doubles as an answer for the future. Abraham answers for the present and the future. How so? Well, keep reading and you will see that God does provide a kind of lamb down in verse 13. That is sacrificed, and Isaac is spared. But when we go careening down the pages of Scripture and come over into the New Testament, this whole true story of Abraham being asked to sacrifice Isaac makes total sense. God set this up to be a prophetic moment. And by prophetic, I mean Abraham correctly foresees the future with this statement, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." And that lamb that God provided, we find out pages and pages and chapters and all that long time later, is Jesus Christ. God is using the events of the true story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac to say this: a father will sacrifice his only, deeply loved Son. God the Father will sacrifice Jesus the Son. As a lamb is killed on an altar, so Jesus is killed on a cross. As the unblemished, perfect lamb animal is slaughtered, so too is Jesus the perfect, unblemished, sinless Lamb of God, to be the final sacrifice for sin for all people for all time. At the time of Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac and the others had not met Jesus in person. They did not know of Jesus Christ as we know him today. They couldn't. Jesus wasn't even born in human flesh yet. But, and this is the mystery of Christ, what Abraham learned that day, and I believe Isaac did too, is that God will send a perfect sacrifice for people's sin. God has a plan. God has a Savior. And Abraham and Isaac needed to trust that coming, that not yet Savior, for their own personal sin at that time in Genesis. So the prophecy, correctly telling the future, is not only a prophecy, it's also for them, which is now our ancient history, their present reality. God has provided the perfect Lamb, Jesus. He has provided him for us and for all people who put their faith in God. You see, and you need to understand this, the people in the Old Testament are saved from sin in the same way we are today, by faith. Just briefly now, let me show you this, and I will self-discipline here to make sure I stay on track for today. Just one text. If you have your Bible there, look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Then Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. That is Genesis 15, verse 6. Notice the process. Abraham believed. That's faith. Just as Christ followers believe today. Abraham believed in the Lord, just as Christ followers believe in the Lord today. And the Lord reckoned it to Abraham as righteousness. Same with Christ followers today. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, he credits us with the righteousness of God. Do not let the word righteous or righteousness confuse you. Just think of the word this way, being made right with God. Being made right with God. Whereas things in your relationship with God before Christ were all wrong, now because of what Jesus has done for you, dear Christian, you have the righteousness of Christ. Your relationship with God has been made right. That's righteousness. And that is what happened to Abraham. Now watch. That is Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 15. We do not read about Jesus' birth and then subsequent life and death and resurrection until Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way over in the New Testament. That is generations upon generations of people later. Okay, because of time, I need to hold this here, but I'll talk about this again on future broadcasts because there are not two different ways to be saved in the Bible. Kind of a saved by your good works in the Old Testament and saved by Jesus in the New Testament. That's not true. There has always been only one way to be saved, by faith in God. And at this moment in Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac learn this, and then Abraham makes the prophetic statement. He correctly predicts what will come to pass. Genesis 22, verse 8, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. The lamb here is prophesied. And there is something really profound that I want to point out here. Let's talk a little geography. This exact location where Abraham was anticipating having to sacrifice Isaac is called the land of Moriah. I'm reading in Genesis 22 and now verse 2. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. That's Genesis 22, verse 2. The geography of Mount Moriah is crucial to your understanding of the Bible. This is the place where the temple was built, the so-called Solomon's Temple, which really was David's temple, but built under Solomon's reign. So here is where the Jews came to offer their unblemished lambs as burnt sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sin during the days of the temple. And incredibly, Moriah is closely situated to Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, perhaps not on the same spot as where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, but close, very close. Golgotha, where Christ was crucified, is right there. So do you understand the geographic ramifications of God sending Abraham and Isaac, the sacrifice, to Moriah? It's prophetic. This geographic location points to the future place where Jesus, the Lamb of God, will be killed. Wow! This is why we seek great understanding of the Old Testament. The Old Testament on every page points to Christ. If you want to understand Jesus Christ, and I pray with all my heart that you do, then you cannot thoroughly know him until you know him in the Old Testament as well. So, my friends, do not fail to read the Old Testament. Do not fail to seek understanding from Genesis through Malachi. It's incredibly important because on literally every page and in every chapter nearly, we see Christ. The Old Testament points to Christ. I'll have a lot more to say on this tomorrow, so join me then, for God is.